You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
He is the baddest man in the NFL.
You are the one who does the diminishing. You, Derrick Henry, are the diminisher.
I love it.
Whoa.
I can tell you put thought and time into this nickname. I definitely appreciate it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. ESPN NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky. Plus, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host, sitting here in Los Angeles, California, on NBC Sports on Peacock every day, following the Dan Patrick Show. Same thing on Sirius XM, Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. And for that audience, along with the Odyssey audience streaming us live coast to coast, and for that audience, along with our friends on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, and for that audience, along with those who listen to this show on demand on the Cumulus Podcast Network, whenever you want to take in any of the 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show, for all those listening, I am wearing a fantastic powder blue sweater right now today. And I understand that's after the Ravens spanked the Los Angeles Chargers in Baltimore yesterday.
It's just being polite.
I just chose it today, and I'm like, you know, I'm in that type of mood. It's the NFL season. It's the baseball playoffs. The NBA tips off tomorrow. The NHL's already out there for a week. Whatever sport you want to follow, congratulations to our friends in Chicago, the WNBA championship, Candace Parker, taking it down.
Love it.
Congratulations to the En Fuego. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to everybody that needs congratulations. I'm in that type of mood today. I really am. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich.
Mike Del Tufo. Mikey D. DJ Mikey D. Good TJ. Hold it up. Yeah, how about them Cowboys? Now, listen. Let me just say this to everyone and to one and all, and particularly the large legion of individuals out there, including you, Mike Del Tufo, who despise everything about the Dallas Cowboys and that organization, who despise everything about the Cowboys being referred to as America's team. My 10-year-old Coop, we're watching Patriots and Cowboys yesterday, and he turns to me and says, Daddy, why do they call Dallas America's team?
Oh, wow.
And my answer to him was way back in the day.
Yes.
Way back in the day when football was considered, and I explained to him what a regional sport is, that football was considered just in your region. You just rooted for those teams. I couldn't even explain to him that once upon a time, there was no such thing as fantasy football on your iPad that you can follow statistics compiling in real time in the palm of your hand and in your lap. I didn't want to blow his little mind with that, but I just explained to him that once upon a time, when there was a collective sea to shining sea about what one football team, potentially even outside of your region, you might root for, there was a large group of fans, even then coast to coast, who liked the Dallas Cowboys, regardless of where they lived, and thus they were dubbed America's team. And so now it's kind of confusing to a lot of people, like, why is there, because pretty much every team is America's team, certainly if there are players on your fantasy team. And it's kind of confusing to a young adult.
I'll explain it to him.
I was explaining that to him. But I will explain this to all of you Cowboys haters out there. The sooner you come to grips with this reality, the better it will be for you.
You're here to help people, Rich.
I am here to help you. That the sooner you kind of understand this and, you know, absorb it, and I'm not saying that you should place aside your feelings of distaste in the Dallas Cowboys organization and everything that they stand for, but the sooner that you realize this, I think, will be healthier for you and better. The Dallas Cowboys, in the year of our Lord, 2021, have indeed placed together and are putting on a football field a bona fide, big-time Super Bowl candidate, a Super Bowl possibility, a possible championship team of top-notch, top of the food chain, top of the ladder.
Say it again.
King of the heap. Ooh. Top of the hill
football a team.
They are putting it all together. They're putting it all together right now. And the sooner that everybody could come to grips with it, I think it will be better for you.
I mean, through 6 weeks.
They are through 6 weeks. Sure, Chris. I mean, it's a long season. Just take a look at the Cleveland Browns, how injuries can totally destroy your team.
I mean, the Steelers were 11-0 last year.
I know that, but last year, what the Steelers had,
Hater McGee over there,
was not nearly. No. I'm trying to, you know, refute him as he's trying to poke holes in a theory that I'm just beginning to lay out for you.
And maybe Chris,
he's a little bit of bitter party for one over there because he thought his Patriots were about to make their bones on the Dallas Cowboys, but that's another indication as to just how terrific and high caliber a quality team the Cowboys are currently fielding that other teams, even with six banners up in the rafters or whatever you might want to call it in Gillette Stadium, in the end zone of Gillette Stadium, they're in 2021 saying, hey, if we're going toe-to-toe with team fill in the blank, we're doing pretty well for ourselves, certainly with a rookie quarterback. The Dallas Cowboys have what other teams want. And so do the Bills. We'll see the Bills tonight. But what they have is an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. What they have is an elite running game. What they have is an elite wide receiving core. And what they have is, I'm going to say it, they have an elite defense is what they have.
Who would have thought?
And this is without Tank Lawrence. Mm-hmm. They're hunting. They are ball hawking. And they have your current right now in the clubhouse through 6 weeks.
Pay attention now.
Defensive player of the year in Trevon Diggs.
Oh, man. No doubt. Yeah.
Number seven in your program is coming for that football you are placing in the air for a split moment between your hand and your receiver's hands. Yep. He is coming for the ball that's in the hands of the running back who's running in his direction. And he's not thinking of taking it. He's thinking of taking it and stealing your soul at the same time and taking it to the house. House calls is what he's thinking of. Michael Irvin compared him to Deion Sanders on NFL Game Day morning yesterday.
And Tranquilo.
Even at that point, I was considering that there needed to be a roll slowed. However, later on in the day, when he picks off a pass that was thrown off the mark by Mac Jones and takes it to the house to give his team a lead after they just missed a field goal late in the day. That, yes, he did have ball thrown over his head two snaps later, but the safety cover was, I think, is what blew that. And that led to an eventual Patriots lead that the offense then marched down the field and tied the score, tied the game, forced overtime, in which Dak Prescott finds CeeDee Lamb on a 35-yarder. Everybody go and check out that highlight. Go to whatever you want on your Twitter feed, YouTube, however. When you go to YouTube, give us a subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Just go check it out. And everybody's all tight. Nobody's out wide. Everybody's in tight right around the line. And CeeDee Lamb's on the very top of your screen, as top of a screen as everybody bunched together can be. He's on the left side of the formation. Dak rolls to his right. As soon as CeeDee Lamb hits the line to gain, as they say, and you can notice that by the yellow first down line that's on your screen of your highlight, he raises his hand Randy Moss style because he knows he's got it. He's open. He's won the route. He's beating coverage. It's done. And Dak, however, is running in the opposite direction of where CeeDee lined up, but now running in the same direction that Lamb is coming across the field. And Dak throws the ball, one leg in the air, leaps in the air on the run, and throws a perfect ball to CeeDee Lamb, who takes it to the house. And I will just say this, what the Dallas Cowboys have now that they did not have is a new number one receiver. That's what he's turning into. And I know Amari Cooper's one of the best route runners out there, and he's what you put your best corner on. But CeeDee Lamb is a major problem for defenses that come at you. Yes, sir, he is. And what they also have is somebody other than Dak, Zeke, and Cooper who can beat you. And they got young players. That's Cedric Wilson, that fourth down catch he made to keep the game alive in order to force overtime. Also, how about maybe having the defensive player of the year and the rookie of the year on defense? How about that? How about Randy Gregory playing the way that he's playing?
Love to see
it. Okay, put it all together, and I will now slow the roll.
Okay?
Just because I'm not just going to come on and give all you Cowboys fans exactly what you want. I've got to actually tell you what time it is at the same time. And what time it is what this is also what the Cowboys did. They should have lost that game, and they would have lost that game in previous years. And you know it, TJ. You know it.
Yeah.
You know it. You get that pick six, and then you give up that big touchdown, and now you're down three, and some mistake's going to come, right? Something's going to happen. Nope. Dak got it done. Greg Zuerlein actually made the field goal, and then they go into overtime, and the play is made, and they win it. Despite what normally takes down the Cowboys and what they have to battle and what they might have to fight through and maybe not, because the guy does have a trophy in the case. But the head coaching decision-making reared its head last night, because it was nighttime when it happened, in Mike McCarthy. I thought he was supposed to, when he was gone between his Green Bay firing and his Dallas hiring, when he said he was watching every play that the Cowboys had, and then in the press conference announcing his hiring, admitted, "Nah, I didn't do that."
I thought
when Mike McCarthy was in his, you know, his coaching sort of phantom zone, right?
Like his General Zod.
When he was placed in that mirror, hurtling through the football,
time-space continuum.
I thought he was supposed to be learning all of the analytics of football and running through every possible scenario that makes him now a new millennium coach, despite being as old school as
what was
he
that
seems
again? I just want to get it accurate.
NFL coaching phantom zone.
Phantom zone.
Yeah.
McCarthy's coaching phantom.
Yeah, McCarthy's coaching phantom zone. There you go. That's a future fantasy team name.
Great avatar.
Sure would be. Yeah, right?
Take up the meal whole
before
circle.
McCarthy. So I thought he was supposed to have all this stuff down. But when it's 2:40 to go, you have all three of your timeouts and a 2-minute warning, and you're on the opposing team's, 35-yard line?
Somewhere around there.
And you're right around there,
33.
And you're right there. And all you got to do is get the 1 yard. And I just mentioned, you got Zeke. Pollard is phenomenal. You've run it for 122 yards on the ground on the day, or it was probably a little less than because there was overtime to come. But they'd run it around 100 yards on the day. I don't even need to go through it. The weapons that they have there. If you get that first down, and New England's got one timeout and a 2-minute warning left, the worst case scenario is it's third and medium, and you're running a ball again, or you're using Dak to get one more first down, and then you take it all the way down and you kick a much easier field goal to win it. Or you give the ball back to New England down two with about 50 seconds and no timeouts to go. Of course, you got to pick up that fourth down. Mm-hmm. But instead, he throws Zuerlein out on the spot, misses the field goal. And to that, I say also thank you to Mike McCarthy for that decision, because without that, we wouldn't have had the house call from Diggs and then the Kendrick Bourne 75-yarder and then all that overtime.
True that.
The only person I think who was really pissed off about that was, you know, Scott Pelley, because 60 Minutes was definitely pounding Santa on the East Coast, because that game was on CBS. Scott Pelley's probably like, come on.
Scott Pelley.
I got a great story tonight on 60 Minutes.
He was caught up in the game, too.
Somewhere Angela Lansbury was pissed off for Scott Pelley because, as you all know, it just keeps preempting stuff throughout the night.
Stuff like what, Rich?
Murder, she wrote. I think you get the point, though. Is that game, that call, that moment, I'm screaming at the television set. I'm like, why are they running Zuerlein out there? And, of course, on cue, misses the field goal, but they had Diggs to bail him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they gave up the pass and score, they had Dak and Zeke, who was terrific, to bail him out. Okay?
Dalton Schultz.
So Dallas might have too much going on positively to be taken down by one of the many issues that's taken them down over the past couple of decades, which is coaching decisions late in games when you're wondering, well, what are you doing?
Oh, it's going to come back.
What are we doing? What is happening? But the sooner all you haters out there realize that Dallas at 5-1, along with Green Bay and yes, the Rams and yes, 6-0 Arizona, of course, they're the only remaining undefeated team, and I'm going all in on Dallas right now. That was the game that most of the country saw, plus everybody feels one way or another about Dallas, that's for sure.
And the Patriots.
It does involve the Patriots. But the sooner you all realize that Dallas Cowboys have a Super Bowl caliber team for 2021, I think the better. I think you'll just admit it, move on. Dallas is moving on to their bye week. They're hoping, you know, Dak will just take whatever, you know, Epsom salt baths are required to get that calf that was in a walking boot as he left New England yesterday. Hopefully that bye week will be fine. They're well in front. Like, there is nobody in their area code knocking on the door. This is exactly what they needed to do last year when nobody was above 500 in the division. Instead, they just finished in last place, which, by the way, means you got a last place schedule too.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I'll tell you. No. There's no reason to.
Nah. And you're right, Rich. In years past, especially last year, everyone else in the division loses. We could pick up crown. We would have lost that game.
And I'm sure Bills fans and Ravens fans, I am sure you are no doubt feeling good out there.
As they should.
And tonight the Bills take on the Titans. And, you know, tomorrow my open might be all about how terrific Buffalo looks, because there are multiple teams that can look so terrific. But I'll tell you what, there's no way you can sit here and say the Bills are absolutely beating the Dallas Cowboys just up the road for Super Bowl 56, if that's the matchup, which, by the way, would be filled with 2 weeks of showing you, you know, where Thurman Thomas looking for his helmet. You know,
that was against Washington.
No, pardon me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. A lot of Norwood.
But you can't sit here. You cannot sit here and say that the Dallas Cowboys have no shot to beat name it. Name them all. And I know that they lost to Tampa in week one, but that was pretty damn close. Because let's not forget about the Bucs, too, sitting out there on their mini bye, getting set to take on a Bears team that lost to Green Bay yesterday. There's so much to talk about. Aaron Rodgers saying he owns the Bears. Browns, Cardinals was a fascinating game. Ravens, Chargers was a boat race from the minute they kicked it off. Jeez. That was done the minute they started.
Done.
I've got two, however, highly impressive victories. The victories that left me the most impressed. And I know I just went in about Dallas, but, you know, That's two moral victories now for the Patriots in their last two home games.
Yeah.
They've lost four in a row in Gillette, which is a stunner.
Yeah.
And and they've also had a – I saw on Twitter someone referred to the win in Houston as a moral loss.
Well, you know, I don't agree with that.
Any W with a rookie quarterback is good enough.
And they were without four offensive starting linemen.
Well, we've got Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated to discuss it. We've got also Dan Orlovsky of the Worldwide Leader in Sports to discuss it. The it being most of week number six that finishes up tonight. I'll be hosting the pregame and halftime on Westwood One this evening between the Bills and the Titans. Lots to talk about right there. And then, of course, with you at 844-204-RICH, Overreaction Monday and more. Baseball playoffs also, as the Dodgers are in an 0-2 hole against the Atlanta Braves. And the Red Sox and Astros play a pivotal Game 3 tonight in the ALCS. We're off and running here on this busy Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Our phone lines are lit. We're full up at the end, so we'll start taking your calls. But I do want to talk about two victories that occurred yesterday that were the most impressive to me. I know the fact that Baltimore did it at home, and the it is just spanked the Chargers. Would put them in that category. But they were home. I got to take road teams for impressive wins. Got to do it. And certainly since fans have returned and travel is still just as dicey in COVID, even with vaccines, as you know, I'm a breakthrough case. You gotta go with road teams. And certainly road teams that don't have their head coach, because he's a breakthrough case for COVID. And Cliff Kingsbury was sitting at home. And by the way, if you want to be quarantined as a breakthrough case for COVID, it looks like his spot would be a great spot. You just turn on that. Just turn on that
fire.
Turn on that fire in the background, fire, right? And just go for it. So, but trust me, it sucks. And what Kingsbury must be going through right now has got to suck. And I'm hoping he's asymptomatic or as close as possible, because if you're not, and I'm telling you, the vaccine hope, you know, is at least going to keep him out of the hospital and from being deathly ill. But it's just for a control freak like a coach to do everything that he needs to do to avoid getting COVID best he can, and then to get it and then watch your team go on the road in Cleveland. And this Browns team, as we know, was just up the road here against the Chargers and played a game on tilt. And offensively, we're just steamrolling the Chargers. But the Browns are banged up. They're banged up. Still, though, you got to beat a team, even on the road, without your head coach. You got to go into Cleveland, who's down two tackles, down their best running back in Chubb, and then wound up being down their one of their lead receivers in Jarvis Landry. and then they wound up being down without Kareem Hunt, and they wound up being down without Odell for a while when he came out holding his arm just when he was beginning to cook, and then Baker's injured non-throwing shoulder pops out again, apparently second time in as many weeks. And what you have to do when you've got that team, also that team shaky on defense despite their two pillars running for you, you know, from their defensive end positions in Clowney and Garrett, got to still go on the road and still come up with the win. Certainly when you have adversity on your first drive by having a ball snap right past your quarterback, bringing up third and 21, as happened to Kyler Murray. They just don't go ahead and convert it and score a touchdown. And then DeAndre Hopkins gets loose twice. And then J.J. Watt shows up without their best defensive player in Chandler Jones. He's out due to COVID. J.J. Watt's best game as an Arizona Cardinal yesterday, when the shoulder popped out on Baker Mayfield, it's because J.J. Watt came in and put him down on a turf. And you could see him. We were talking in our Peacock-only segment about Aaron Rodgers being picked up, saying, you know, I still own you, to the Chicago Bears faithful. J.J. Watt, you could see him reading his lips. They can't block me. They can't block me. Arizona Cardinals are terrific. What a huge win for them on the road. Huge win for them on the road. To stay 6-0. Certainly when the Rams showed up in New Jersey and you assumed that the boat race was going to be on there, and it was. But they just went into Cleveland and just smacked Cleveland around early on in the first quarter when Kareem Hunt was still up and running. And when Baker Mayfield hadn't had his shoulder pop out for a second time yet, and Odell wasn't out yet, this game was in hand early on. Early on. And the Cardinals are now 6-0 since they started 7-0, their best start to start a season ever in 1974. I had mentioned to you when they were the lone remaining undefeated team in this year for the first time. 1974 was the last time they were the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL. It's been a long time for this organization, and they look good, and they had to do it, especially knowing the Rams were going to keep pace. Highly impressive W for the Cardinals, who now face the Texans next. And I don't know, 50 targets and 50 touchdowns for DeAndre Hopkins in that game against the Houston Texans? Or do they just bring a thank you bouquet up to the owner's suite?
I think both work.
When the visitor's owner's suite.
Yeah, both work.
Right? Oh, that's when it's going to be on.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt, we're going to scheme for him, although they did him a solid. So
they did him
did him a big-time
solid.
Yeah,
very true. Very true.
So it's going to be an interesting week in Arizona this week. And they're feeling good, 6-0, staring 7-0 to match that 1974 start right in the face. However, I just mentioned Arizona's win in Cleveland, highly impressive. And again, what the Ravens did at home, highly impressive. Nothing more impressive than what the Raiders did in Denver. The Las Vegas Raiders, with their interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, who had never been an HC, he is now the interim head coach for a team that we all know what they went through. Their head coach, who either drafted him or stared them in the face and told them one thing and stood for something that they thought that John Gruden was standing for. All that in the form of a rug got ripped out from underneath him. Poof, he's gone. Carl Nassib needs a personal day on Wednesday, as Mike Mayock mentioned, when he was the one who stepped forward along with Rich Bisaccia to take questions and be the face front individuals of the Raiders organization, as Mark Davis has not spoken in front of a microphone. He has spoken to members of the media. And apparently he did speak to the team on Wednesday. And finally, over the weekend, did say what I thought he was going to say instead of Mayock, which is what his father stood for in terms of diversity and in terms of hiring practices and in terms of inclusivity. But that team rallied around each other, used the football game itself as the proverbial and actual sanctuary. Right? I guess I should just keep proverbial because I didn't think they were out there and praying. They didn't need it. Oh, man. I mean, Max Crosby, a hat trick of sacks on the defensive side of the ball. Just putting pressure on Bridgewater, not allowing that running game to get going. Cortland Sutton was doing his thing, but the Raiders were doing their thing even better. Henry Ruggs up top. Derek Carr playing his head off. And when leaders are needed in the locker room, he's like, I got it. So many people slag on this guy. I could not be more impressed with Derek Carr and Max Crosby and the rest of the leaders on that team. They went into Denver, two teams that had won three in a row to start and then lost their next two. They went into Mile High Stadium as they're honoring Mike Shanahan and putting him in their version of the Ring of Honor. And they just went in there and took the game and took it over and never relinquished it and kept the foot on the gas pedal and didn't make many mistakes at all. Kenyon Drake's best game as a Las Vegas Raider. Put it all on the board and they turned their locker room from drama central into party central. What must it have been like and felt like in that locker room after that week that nobody's ever had to deal with? Who's ever had to deal with a coach's emails 10 years old?
Yeah, right.
You know, coming out of nowhere and then suddenly causing everyone to question his heart and soul and motives and tactics, turning him from a tenured, long-term contracted, Super Bowl winning head coach into untenable as a face-forward employee and head coach and leader on the spot.
He's never going to coach again. It's over.
Well, you never know in this day and age, man, in this world, ever again. I wouldn't put it there. What I will just, you know, leave it to and just pen in just for this moment in this conversation is no team's ever had to deal with coaches there on a Sunday. He's gone on a Monday night. You're probably learning from, you know, either my colleague Tom Pelissero of the NFL Media Group on Twitter, or you're watching the Monday night football game and Schefter pops up, Gruden's out. You're like, what? Wednesday, owner comes in to talk to you about it. What? Carl Nassib takes a day off Wednesday, personal day. Everyone totally understands it. What? Some guys in the locker room sitting there probably thinking, you know, as Mayock said, empathy for Gruden. And certainly his family who's got to be dealing with all that. I mean, the emotions and the opinions and the talk and the conversations, potentially arguments, you'd have to assume that might have been happening in that locker room Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Or it could have been a perfect order of events kept in between the lines, figuratively, by a very strong leadership community within that locker room. Bisaccia, Mayock, whatever they did, congratulations. What a win. In division, on the road, needing it to go 4-2. They're now tied for first place with the Chargers. In record, the Chargers have that tiebreak because of the Monday night win in week number 4. Think about that. 2 weeks ago today, gents, and out there, ladies and gents, 2 weeks ago today, John Gruden was taking his team on a team bus, eventually to sit around in a lightning storm, but to play a Monday night football game as a 3-0 head coach for a 3-0 team. Thinking, you know, I've finally put this thing together. Finally put this thing together. We're 3-0. We're going to come in. We're going to beat the Chargers, and it's going to be great. And we're going to be 4-0. But 2 weeks later, he's gone. And the Raiders are now 4-2 with Rich Bisaccia as their interim coach. And if they play for him, the sky's the limit. The way that they rallied around this. Unbelievable. Can't say enough about that team. And as I mentioned, one to root for. I know Raiders fans are fired up. I saw this one coming. I lone wolfed him yesterday. I didn't see a lot of other stuff coming, but this one I got right. Hashtag let Mayock cook. Hashtag let Bisaccia coach. Let's go. Whatever they did, they apparently got together and they're like, hey, Derek, what do you like? Hey, Kenyon, you get ready. We're going to use you a little bit more today.
I think Gruden never asked.
I don't know.
Carr what he liked.
Don't know. But it worked. Everybody thought they're just going to go right down to tubes. Yeah. And they went in and they came up with a road division win in Denver with Shanahan showing up. His name in the ring. The fans there ready to just like boat race the Raiders and say, you're dysfunctional. Look at us. Good stuff. When we're back, your phone calls. And I just do want to hit on a couple other aspects of what's going on in Cleveland and Denver. The flip side of those things. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So, a couple things. Cleveland Browns are in trouble. I'm genuinely concerned about them. You know, I cape for Baker on this program. He had a terrible interception yesterday. Wound up leaving him shaking his head. But the guy he just doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. He's got a certain energy about him and a certain grittiness about him that if the wins come, he's going to be just a folk figure. He's going to be a folk figure there in Cleveland. But he just didn't play a clean game yesterday. He needed to play a clean game yesterday. And then he got cleaned up. It certainly doesn't help, but there's no he's got two tackles down. He was Nick Chubb down. He's Jarvis Landry down. But I do hope, you know, again, you Browns fans that want to hang it on him, understand that it wasn't him on defense when DeAndre Hopkins caught like a little quick screen or quick bubble or whatever the hell it was inside the 20 and ran through everybody or left him completely alone in the back of the end zone or didn't stop Christian Kirk, couldn't stop. You know, Connor, the defense is concerning for Cleveland. Absolutely concerning for me about Cleveland. And now Kareem Hunt's out, and he's definitely going to injured reserve, I think. Rap Sheet calls it likely right now, but it's his job to hedge his bets because that's what information folks do because nothing is completely locked
in. It looks like he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, at least it's a calf because it looked like an Achilles to me.
Yeah.
So he's out 4 to 6. Chubb could come back in time for Thursday night against Denver, so it comes right around. But then the division games start, including against Cincinnati, which looked terrific in Detroit yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I know folks are going to be jumping on Baker again, but that guy has had his shoulder pop out twice. He went in the blue tent. He came right back out. I'm sure he visited the person who Deion calls Dr. Needle, you know, and something where he popped right back out and he went back out there. However, it was ugly before he got knocked out, and TJ Watt and JJ Watt. I mean, JJ Watt knocked Baker out. TJ Watt knocked Seattle out last night. In overtime, TJ Watt ended Seattle's first overtime possession by sacking Geno Smith and then ended Seattle's night by forcing a fumble on Geno Smith. And that was all she wrote. So he's worth all that bag. TJ ended the game in overtime last night. And Denver. I feel bad doing this, but I'll do it anyway. I mean, I just got to speak the truth. Whoever is watching the video for Vic Fangio, whoever's in charge, whatever they're doing there for their replay process, because again, I watched the Raiders and the Broncos intently because I wanted to see how the Raiders were going to respond. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, it was one of the most impressive wins I've seen in a long time. Definitely the most impressive win of week six to me. But twice, Vic Fangio, twice he threw a challenge flag. His first of the season, which is good, because if this is the way it goes in Denver, they've got a long way to go to button this thing up. Twice he threw challenge flags on something that you could already see was not going to go Denver's way if he threw a challenge flag. Twice he threw one. One where Denver didn't have a touchdown in the back of the end zone on offense. And it's just like, okay, clearly that foot's out of bounds. Right. Out comes a flag.
Yeah.
After further review, there's no touchdown. I could have told you that. Honestly. Honestly. Then he did it again on what, you know, was ruled not a catch, and he throws a flag, whoop, comes out. Oh, yep, I could have told you that going to break. And I'm like,
why do these coaches?
I mean, I don't know how. There's no excuse to throw a challenge flag on something that's already established on the screen that it will not work out for you. There's no excuse for it with pause buttons and 4K and high definition and DVRs. I told Mariucci if he ever went back to coaching that he's got to let me handle the setup on who tells him what to challenge and how. Put it in the hands of a television expert. Let me do it. I'll come to a preseason game and I'll check on your whole protocol. But honestly, I'm like, are they using a fuzzy television set with rabbit ears? Did they not have, is it standard def?
Yeah, 4x3 standard def.
Is that what it is?
Black and white.
Because there's no excuse for it.
Betamax.
There's zero excuse for you throwing a challenge flag on something that's already been established for anybody sitting on their ass on the couch, like me, can see. I couldn't believe that both challenge flags come out like that. There's no excuse for it. 8442, and I feel bad for whoever, like, oh, God, I'm just sitting here watching TV. I got a remote control. But I thought I was out of line of fire. Well, no. And if you're a head coach and you're throwing a challenge flag out of like, you know, I really wanted that touchdown, maybe I'll get it. There's no hope in wishing when it comes for challenge flags. There's no hope chest. There's only facts, which is a beautiful thing. So rare in our world where facts actually matter. All right. Let's take some phone calls here on the Rich Eisen. Chris in Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs certainly took care of business against Kentucky this weekend. You're on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah,
what's up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a good weekend for Georgia, you know, fans in Georgia. The Braves did pretty well, too. But
yes.
Just so many thoughts running through when you were talking about the Raiders. I'm really, really proud. Full team effort. And Derek Carr at the end of the first half. Give me 55 seconds and 3 timeouts, and I got it. I think they scored. There were still 30 seconds left. And that pass to Drake was just out of this world.
It was beautiful.
And
he was incredible.
Yeah, and then the end of the game, Edwards, the catch that he had, the one-handed catch. He's like, I'll wait till, you know, the fourth quarter, and then I'll show off. So just amazing, amazing team win. I was so proud. And proud of Mayock, too. He was great at the presser.
I feel the same way, obviously. I'm biased when it comes to him. Yesterday, Waller was essentially not a factor. And he's their best player. That's for sure.
Yeah, eight different receivers.
Is incredible. Amazing. Unbelievable. Thanks for the call. Congrats on your big sports weekend. Sarah Tiana must be a very happy, happy woman right now.
Very excited.
Georgia number one overall, Braves up 2-0. Mm-hmm. She was away from you for the weekend. She must be great.
Pretty much.
Chuck in Virginia, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chuck? I did say that.
What's up, Rich?
Chuck?
Yeah, you might remember me about 4 weeks ago. I made the bold prediction of saying that Zach Wilson was a bust. But since the Jets are on a bye week, I just wanted to say the game that we saw yesterday between the Patriots and the Cowboys. Matt Jones, Rookie of the Year, and Dak Prescott, Comeback Player of the Year. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Dak for Comeback Player of the Year, I think, looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
Lock.
You know?
That first pick, though.
Dude, Rookie of the Year is Ja'Marr Chase.
What?
Offensive, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Offensive Rookie of the Year is Ja'Marr Chase. Don't you think?
Yeah, I don't
Come
know.
Come on now. Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah. He's...
Well, wait a minute. First of all, Brockman...
That block he threw get Joe Mixon in the end zone yesterday?
Brockman, who was...
ridiculous.
Who was pounding the table for Ja'Marr Chase more than me last week, by the way? Like, tell the truth.
I know. You're about it. Because you're trying to trade for him.
Ja'Marr Chase is the Rookie of the Year, don't you think? Why are you even pausing?
Because when he said, I was thinking overall, because earlier in the show you said Micah Parsons, Rookie of the Year, and I didn't even think offensive and defensive.
It's different. So. It's offensive and defensive. Yeah. They split it up. But, Najee Harris has an ability on strong. He's looking.
He's
exactly
balling, Rich.
What I was telling everyone about before the season, that he's the culture changer that the Steelers need. It's very difficult to depend on a rookie.
Najee
but he's
Harris
exactly what they need. He's going to wind up being the most valuable player for the Steelers. He already is, you could say. I mean, he was moving the ball last night. He's exactly why Big Ben doesn't have to throw it 50 times. He's exactly why Big Ben, late in the game, I don't even think he got touched last night. It was zero sack, zero hits. Because you can't pin your ears back and go for Big Ben, because here comes 22 coming at you. And a long line of diminishers coming from Alabama. But Ja'Marr Chase right now, he's your Rookie of the Year. That's...
averaging 21 yards per catch, five touchdowns.
What's the worst? What's the coldest take in the NFL that's gone coldest fastest?
You're taking Washington to make the Super Bowl?
I didn't take Washington to make the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? I had the Bucks versus the Chiefs. What are you talking about?
You not wanting to trade for Giannis?
I mean, you were talking about how, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick could take this team to the Super Bowl.
Of course.
You said Ryan Fitzpatrick might be in the Hall of Fame.
If
so.
He made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dude, that's an absurd generality that you just said. I never at all said Washington football team is going to make the Super Bowl. I chose
you
the
Bucks.
You said
they were going to win the division.
The coldest said. Take fastest is that Ja'Marr Chase can't catch in the NFL. What a bust he is. Because he couldn't hold on to the ball in a preseason.
Well, I don't think anyone believed that. He admitted he couldn't catch.
Now look at him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so. To Joe Burrow, from Joe Burrow, too, for your 4-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Albert Breer coming up hour 2.